Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. God is the giver of the sunshine and God is the giver of the rain. Thanks be to God. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've braved the showers to be here this morning, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending recently, we want to extend a special welcome to you. Those of us who are here week in and week out will be looking for faces we don't know so we can shake your hand and extend our hope to you that you'll become a part of this family of faith. Now, of course, one way to do that is to get involved in what God is doing through our church here at West End. You'll find lots of opportunities listed in the bulletin insert, and we are beginning our new cycle of programming for the fall. So I'm going to lift up some of those opportunities. First of all, our youth small groups begin tonight from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Youth, I hope you'll be there. We had a great kickoff last weekend, and I hope you will be here for the small groups tonight. Also, this coming Wednesday, August 24th, is our kickoff for the Wednesday evening programming. We'll have a potluck dinner. The meat will be provided. You can look and see what you can bring according to the alphabet in the bulletin insert. Also, we'll have a hymn sing and a concert. We'll review the upcoming week Wednesday evening activities. So I hope you'll take advantage of that this coming Wednesday. And then on Wednesday the 31st, we'll begin our regular Wednesday evening programming. You can find all those classes and activities listed in the bulletin insert. Please make sure to get your reservation for dinner in by noon on Tuesday. This is really, really, really important, and especially because we don't have access to our kitchen now. We are working with a caterer. We really do want to have a firm number because we want to have enough food for everybody who comes. So please, by noon on Tuesday, before the Wednesday evening that you intend to come, just call the church and tell us how many of you and your family are coming. It would be a huge help. Among the Wednesday evening programs are a couple I want to lift up. First of all, if you've never taken Disciple 1, let me encourage you to at least learn about it. It has been literally life-transforming for a number of people within this congregation and other congregations. And Reverend Michael will be in Reed Hall following the service. You can learn more about Disciple 1 and decide if you would like to be a part of that life-changing experience that it provides. Also, in Reed Hall, you will find folks who will talk to you about our financial peace class as well, which is coming up, and you can sign up for that in Reed Hall following the service. So I hope you'll take a look at those two classes. Also, our Tizay service is tonight at 5 p.m. in the sanctuary. I always talk about Tizay being a respite from the busyness and noisiness of the world, but it's also a time that if you have prayer concerns, you can bring those concerns. If you have need for healing, there is anointing and prayers for healing available at each of the Tizay services. So let me encourage you, if you haven't tried that service, come and try it. It is healing, even if you don't have a specific need, but it certainly is if you do. And then finally, I'm going to give a little plug for the Habitat money before I introduce our Mission Moment speaker. We are not anywhere close to having the $30,000 we need for our contribution for Habitat. Now, we've always raised it. I know we will. It just makes us feel a little easier if it goes ahead and comes in. So if you would like to contribute to that, all you have to do is to put Habitat in your memo line on your check. Put it on the outside of an envelope if you're putting money in an envelope. It would really, we're not quite halfway there. And usually we're ahead of that. So I know we'll do it. I know that you'll be a part of that and you want to be a part of that. Let me encourage you to do so sooner rather than later. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Sean Kennedy to talk a little bit about the upcoming Habitat bill. Sean?
Morning.
Morning.
My name is Sean Kennedy, and for those of you who don't know me, I sing in the much smaller and less robust First Service Choir, Sanctuary Choir. I've also taken part in helping to coordinate West End's Habitat bill both last year and this year. Our bill will be taking place the first four Saturdays of October, as well as the fourth Sunday. For those of you who either may be new to the church and are looking to get to know the congregation, or for those of you who are already active and looking for the next opportunity to stay involved, I highly recommend you visit the table in Reed Hall directly following today's service. West End has historically, as Michael said, been a major contributor to the Methodist Habitat Build each year, both in our generous commitment of volunteers as well as through our pocketbooks. Now, I know you guys have been hearing a lot about this, and this is a little redundant, but we are less than halfway there to reach our funding commitment of $30,000. Though it is a lot of money to raise by October, one of the important things about my faith is it allows me to trust that, God willing, we will reach our goal. And I would like to thank you all for helping us to achieve that goal. I know personally it's one thing to feel like I ought to give to someone in need, and another thing entirely to give and then be able to see firsthand the impact that such a small gift can have in someone's life. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. And if you want to learn more about our Habitat family, there is a bulletin insert that will give you more information about them. Do you ever get so concerned about following the rules that you kind of lose sight of what the rules were made for in the first place? You think that dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's are really what it's about? Sometimes we in church can get so invested in following all the rules that we forget that the rules are there to help us love God and love our neighbor. Jesus has to correct a group of folks about that a little later in the scripture. Stick around and see how he does it.
God, rejoice, for we are in the presence of the Lord. People of love, be glad, for God has bound us up in the divine heart. People of God, exalt in the Lord, for providential grace guides our path. The Lord God has called us to move onward towards perfection, to love God and neighbor with all our being. Though we often stumble on this path to perfection, we serve a God ready, willing, and quick to forgive. Let us confess our sins before God and one another, praying together, Almighty,
Thank you.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Tom Whitworth and Carrie Whitworth bring their son, James Wally Whitworth, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth by water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Now, Carrie and Tom, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil of powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness. We will pray for him that he might be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What name is given this child? James Wiley, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can lay hands on him if you choose. James Wiley, the Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days.
Will the congregation please stand and face James Wiley? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend James Wiley to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, You are free from your ailment. When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all of his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing in all the wonderful things that he had done. The word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, come on down. You can bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend if that makes you feel better about it. When I was a little boy, and still, really, I was a rule follower. If the teacher said to do something a certain way, I tried to do it exactly that way. And that's a good thing, to follow the rules. But sometimes, if we just follow the rules and don't think about why the rules are there in the first place, we forget what's really important. The story that Krista just read is about that. Jesus was teaching, kind of like I'm sitting with you and talking, in a synagogue, which was kind of like a church. He was probably telling some stories about the Bible, which I do sometimes. And while he was telling them, a woman came in who was all bent over. She couldn't stand up straight. She had an illness, and she was all bent over and had been for a long, long time. So when Jesus saw her, he felt sorry for her. He wanted her to be able to stand up again, so he says to her, "Your illness is gone. Stand up." And he walks over and he touches her. He lays hands on her. And when he does that, she is able to stand up straight. Well, now that's pretty cool, huh? That's a really nice thing to do. Except the leader of the synagogue, the leader of that particular church, thought that Jesus was breaking the rules. He was working on the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus didn't think he was working. He thought he was loving that woman by helping her get better. But this man thought he was breaking the rules. So he went around telling people, you know, there are 6 days that he could have cured her. He could have just waited till tomorrow to cure her. Why did he have to break the Sabbath? Why did he have to break the rules? Well, when Jesus heard this, he said, "Let me ask you something. If you have a donkey, or if you have oxen, and on the Sabbath day, if they're thirsty, you untie them and you lead them to water, don't you?" Well, everybody's head was nodding. "Yeah, we do that." Jesus said, "If you can love your oxen and your donkey like that, can't I love this woman by speaking words of healing to her?" And the cool thing is, everybody there said, well, maybe except for the guy who was all mad in the first place, but most of the people there said, "Well, duh, of course. If we can show that kind of care for a donkey, of course you can show that kind of care for this woman who needed to be able to stand up straight and walk." Now, I'm going to be telling some more stories about how Jesus helps us, and how sometimes it's important to remember why we have the rules in the first place. Because we as Christians really have the rules for two reasons: to help us love God and to help us love one another. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us rules so that we can love you and love one another. Thank you for giving us an example in Jesus of how we go about doing that. And help us to remember that just following the rules isn't really the point. It is to learn how to love the way you love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. You know, if I had a nickel for every time throughout my childhood and young adulthood and even today that some helpful member of my family has told me, "Stand up straight," I could have retired a long time ago. First, it was my father who continually helped me by reminding me I wasn't supposed to slump, I wasn't supposed to slouch, I was to stand up straight. Even today, my wife Margaret continues to help me out in that way, reminding me. And the thing is, I can, when I remember, stand up straight. But not everybody can. When I hear this story, my mind immediately goes to my Aunt Clara. She was actually my great aunt. She was my mother's aunt. And when I was growing up, she was probably in her 80s. And we didn't know the word at the time, but she had osteoporosis. So my Aunt Clara, this small, thin lady, was all bent over. When I hear about this bent over woman, that's the image I get. She had starkly white hair. She had this sweet face and sweet disposition. And when my Aunt Clara's house was just up the road from my mother's home place, and when we would walk up there to go visit, she would always have good stuff to eat. That's what I remember mostly about visiting my Aunt Clara. She would have biscuits, and she would have homemade jellies and jams, and sometimes there would be honey that they had gotten from a honeycomb from trees nearby. And I remember whenever we went to her house, she showed her love to us by feeding us. And so I knew that if I went to see my Aunt Clara, we'd have something good to eat. When I think of her, I don't really think of her being disabled. I don't think of her being bent over. I remember how loved I felt sitting around that table and eating that food. More recently, one of my heroes, a retired pastor named Ben Alexander, who had served as district superintendent in the Cumberland District and had been pastor at First United Methodist Church in Hendersonville and was the pastor emeritus there when I came there. And Ben was in his probably late 80s by the time I arrived. I'd known him for many, many years. A saint, if ever there was one. One of the kindest men I ever met in my life. And I'm going to tell you a story that some of you have heard before, and you may hear it again, because it is so formative to me. When I first went there, Ben Alexander, who had served so many churches in so many different places, came to me and said, "I'm going to tell you what I told your predecessor when he was appointed here. If I see that you're going to step in a hole, I will point it out. I will let you know if you are about to step into something that's going to be trouble for you." He said, "Then if you decide to jump into it, I'll jump in after you." How many people would say that? How many people would actually do that? He did on several occasions. Because you know me, I don't avoid stepping in holes if I think there's a good reason. But he was always there. Ben also had osteoporosis, and as the years passed, he became more and more bent over. But what I remember about Ben Alexander is not that he was bent over. I remember how he exuded the kind of love that I aspire to exude. I don't think I will ever arrive at the place where Ben Alexander came to be. But I certainly would love to be there one day, and I would hope to grow to be like him. In both cases of my Aunt Clara and Ben Alexander, it was not their disability that I saw. It was not their bent overness that I remembered. It was the love that they shared. Now, in the story that you heard and that I retold, Jesus is plopped down right into an ongoing discussion that went on for centuries among rabbis. And that discussion is, what does it take to constitute work on the Sabbath? How far do you have to walk? How much can you carry in your pockets? What can you do on the Sabbath? And what is not allowed because it would be defined as work? Jesus is teaching on the Sabbath. He was probably sitting, as I was with the children, because when rabbis taught, they sat. That's how you knew they were saying something important. In the middle of his story, whatever that story might have been, and Luke doesn't tell us what the story was, he happens to see a woman coming in, apparently late. Was it the fact that she was bent over? Was it the fact that it was so physically difficult for her to get there that caused her to be late? We don't know. But as she comes in, obviously Jesus sees her and he has to make a decision. Is it more important that I continue with this story, that I not interrupt the momentum of the story, or is it more important that I speak a word of healing to that woman? And he makes his decision just like that. He speaks to her, stops what he's teaching and speaks to her and says, "Your illness is gone." And he doesn't leave it at that. He walks over and he touches her. He lays hands on her. Sometimes we forget how important touch is. Babies that are not touched do not thrive. We never outgrow the need for healing and wholesome touch. For a lot of us, as we age, fewer and fewer people touch us except to perform procedures on us in the hospital or at the doctor's office. But we all need that. He spoke to her, he touched her, and she straightened up. Now, that should have been a cause for celebration, but of course, you always, in religious settings, have the rule followers, and the leader of that synagogue apparently thought it would reflect on him if Jesus had done work on the Sabbath, and so he starts trash-talking what Jesus has just done. He had 6 days he could have done that. He could have waited till tomorrow to do that. He didn't have to do that on the Sabbath. In essence, protecting himself and his own reputation. Jesus, hearing this, calls him out. He doesn't let him sit on that righteous high horse. He says, hey, you got a donkey? Your donkey's thirsty? You feed your, or you water your donkey on the Sabbath? Uh-huh, yeah. Well, if you love your donkey like that, can't I love that woman like this? If watering your donkey isn't work, is healing this woman? Jesus shifts the whole ground of the conversation. He shifts it away from that ongoing discussion of what constitutes work. Does healing constitute work? And suggests that the important thing is not that a rule may or may not have been broken. The important thing is that a relationship has been reestablished. Healing is not an act of work for Jesus here. It's the reestablishment of a relationship through a spoken word and through touch. That's ultimately what rules are for. They are for us to learn to love one another. In the church, sometimes we get so enamored with our rules, with our book of discipline, with our local church policies and procedures, whatever, that we forget why they're there in the first place. Not that rules aren't important, they are, but they're only important if they help us love God and love one another. Jesus knew that. They are only important as they serve relationship. And believe me, in 40-some years of ministry, I have learned it's all about relationship. Jesus knew that already and was willing to at least appear to break the rules in order to point out what's important. The interesting thing about this story is that in most of the teaching stories of Jesus, people don't get it. Even his closest followers are saying, I didn't understand what he said. Did you understand what he said? But here everybody gets it. They all say, well, yeah, of course. If we'll take care of our animals on the Sabbath, why can he not take care of this woman on the Sabbath? They all get it. Because this is what it means to live well. It's even what it means to die well. There's a guy named Ira Byock, teaches at Dartmouth, I believe, works in the hospital there, who started working with hospice care back in the 70s when it was fairly new, when it was somewhat suspicious. And he's worked with dying patients ever since. And he's come up with the idea that there is such a thing as dying well. Now, by that, he makes a distinction. He doesn't mean that you do the process of dying well. He means that when you die, you are whole. You die healed. He said there are really only four statements that he has come to associate with dying well. I forgive you. Do you forgive me? Thank you. I love you. It's not rocket science, folks. And it's not just about dying well. It's about living well. Can you imagine the state of our relationships if those four sentences were in the forefront of our minds in each and every one of them? We all carry our limitations. We all have our challenges. We all are disabled in some way or another. But it's not our physical disabilities that God worries about, that will be taken care of at some point, because we're gonna shuck this body off. But God is concerned about our inability to love God and love our neighbor. God is concerned about how we want to follow the rules, even when they mean that we shut out our neighbor and perhaps even shut out God for the sake of those rules. It's taken me a long time to learn this. And I've had a lot of teachers along the way, and I want to conclude with a story about one of those teachers. This was a long time ago. I was working down the street at the Journal Board of Discipleship, so it was probably the late 1980s. Margaret and I were recently married. We didn't have children yet. We were attending church at West Nashville United Methodist Church. Diane Blum was the pastor there then. Diane now and her family now attends here. We would go to church, and afterwards we would go to Dalt's for brunch or lunch or whatever. And usually by the time we got there, there would be a long line. We'd have to wait a while. And one day we went, and we were waiting a while. And when we finally got seated, I realized that I needed to go to the restroom. Now, this is not the kind of story you would typically tell in church, let me warn you. But I'll be as delicate as I possibly can. So, if you remember Dalt's before it was remodeled, there were not only big, beautiful doors on the outside of the restrooms. I don't know about the women's restroom, but in the men's restroom, there were also full doors on the stalls. It was pretty fancy, I thought. So, anyway, I go in there. I'm all alone. I'm standing there taking care of what I needed to take care of. And I hear the door open, and I hear a voice. And the voice says, "I fell down." And I assumed it was one person talking to another. It was a male voice. And so I didn't think much about it until I realized there was someone standing right next to me as I took care of what I needed to take care of, looking at me, and said, "I fell down." Well, I looked over, and this young man was bent over. His body was kind of twisted. I assumed that he had some developmental challenges as well as physical challenges, because you just don't go up and start looking at and talking to a guy in the restroom when he's taking care of whatever he needs to take care of. I didn't know what to say. I was very uncomfortable. I looked at the young man and I said, "I'm sorry." It seemed to satisfy him. So we went into one of those big stalls and closed the door, and I thought, thank goodness, I'm getting out of here. So I'm over there, I'm washing my hands, I'm getting ready to leave, and all of a sudden I hear that same voice behind that full door saying, "I love you." You just don't tell another young man you don't know in the bathroom that you love him, okay? That's just not something I was used to. And I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know what to say. And so I dried my hands, kind of panicky. And as I threw away the towel, I offered a weak thank you and walked out the door, wondering which one of us was really challenged. Which one of us really was disabled in that situation. And I think I know. I followed all the rules. I knew what you were supposed to do and not supposed to do, and what you were supposed to say and what you weren't supposed to say. But he was the one who got it right. If we can just remember, I forgive you. Do you forgive me? Thank you. And I love you. We will have lived well. We will be able to die well. And we will have fulfilled both the law and the prophets according to Jesus. Thanks be to God. We tell our story in lots of ways, and one of those is through our affirmations of faith. I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and join me as we tell our story together. We are not alone.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for them by their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for you to put prayer requests. Please indicate if these requests are to be shared or to be held confidentially. The card can be placed in the offering plate as it's passed down each pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle of each pew. If you've not already done that, you can do that this time. And as you pass the pad back down the pew, we invite you to take a note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you do not know. We offer our sympathy to the family of Bob Nash. We received word of his passing yesterday. Visitation with the family will be this coming Monday, August 22nd, from 4 to 7 p.m. here in McWhorter Hall, and then the funeral will be in the sanctuary at West End here at 11 o'clock on Tuesday, August 23rd. Prepare our hearts and minds to speak to us, Lord, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of abundant grace, who heals us of our sickness, of turning our backs to those in need, but you stand us upright from our bent towards sin, so that we may be empowered by the Spirit to serve a hurting world. Jesus Christ, who restores us from our ailments, we too are in need of your grace to be set free and reconciled with you, so that we may bring your message of hope and healing to all people. Spirit of God, you reshape and transform our hearts and minds, so that we may rejoice together at the wonderful things you are doing. Hear our prayer this day on behalf of the church and the whole world, for those imprisoned and held captive in their families, for those who experience the pain of war and violence, for university students and teachers and all those returning to their studies, for those still burdened and in need of your healing. For our city, may we grow in your grace. For the church and our leaders, Bishop McAlealy and Superintendent Brian. And now let us join our voices together and pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In gratitude for all that God has already done for us, let us present our gifts to God.
And now go forth led by God's love to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, who created all that is and loved all that God created, Jesus Christ that showed us God's love walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to walk in Jesus' way, will be with us now and forever. Go in peace.